Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Cyclone Fanatic Radio is on the air.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Central Iowa sports fans, it's time to dig deep inside the world of Iowa State athletics. You're tuned to the Cyclone Fanatic radio show presented by U.S. Cellular, live from Benchwarmers Sports Bar in Ankeny.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cult of personality.
And now, here are your hosts, Chris Williams, Brent Bloom, and Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames on the Cyclone Fanatic radio show on 1460 KXNO.
Hey, welcome to our final show of 2013. A little bit odd to say, but that is a very real fact as, well, hoop season after Friday night really kind of calms down. We're going to take a couple of weeks off here in the Wilson Toyota of Ames Cyclone Fanatic radio program from Benchwarmers in Ankeny. We're on a odd night tonight, Wednesday, instead of Thursday, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The Iowa State women's basketball team will host the Iowa Hawkeyes. Of course, Friday night, the big game between the two men's programs. We're going to preview both of them here over the next hour. Live for Benchwarmers in Ankeny on 1460 KXNO. My name is Chris Williams, joined as always by Brent Bloom and Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames. Gentlemen, how are we this fine evening, Tron?
I think you're a little off because it's Wednesday. You don't have that.
I'm tired, man.
The like spuchka. You don't have the what? The spuchka.
The spuchka. Bloom, do you think I have the spuchka? I think I have plenty of spuchka.
You look like you're wearing a spuchka.
You look like you're wearing something. Looks like someone's tablecloth, all right, man.
It's radio. They can't see what I'm wearing.
I'm
wearing
a picture,
nice
dude.
Flannel shirt because it's like 40 below outside.
Close. It is close.
We got a lot coming up. Matt Abdelmassey, Iowa State assistant men's basketball coach at 6'10". Billy Finnelly from the women's program at 6'35".
Can I say something about Wilson Toyota?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So I purchased a vehicle from there.
Okay.
And so I get my car serviced
mm-hmm.
at Wilson Toyota. And I realized how convenient it is today, Tron, to your credit and your website's credit. I don't even have to talk to anybody when I scheduled my appointment, which I prefer.
That's huge for you.
I don't like
humans.
You hate
talking. Yeah.
And so to not have to deal with anybody on the phone trying to schedule something, I got a confirmation email. I was done. I'm coming 4 o'clock tomorrow. Drop it off. Don't have to deal with anybody, and it'll get done for me.
There you go. That's all you have to do in this world is just avoid human contact.
Right.
Bloom is from the texting generation.
That's right.
He'd rather text somebody than actually have a conversation. It drives me nuts with those kids these days.
Text
yeah,
and email.
What's wrong with you young folks, man? But they're exactly right, man. They make it easy across the board. You'd be amazed of how many what the internet does when it comes to, you know, you look think about CycloneFanatic.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Geez, when it comes into the car business, it's unbelievable, man. You buy a car online now.
Well,
just like that.
You can, like, build your own.
You can build your own
car. Yeah, you can build your own Tundra. I looked into it one time.
Well, let's get her done.
Well, I don't make it up. But nonetheless, Wilson Toyota Cyclone Fanatic radio show here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. A lot to talk about. I want to touch on some updates on the offensive coordinator search. I want to touch on football recruiting, as it's been a crazy week and a half from that front. But obviously basketball taking front and center stage. Bloom, you did a nice job calling the Iowa State Northern Iowa game on television the other day. You and I stuck around and watched the Iowa Hawkeyes for a little bit afterwards. I've been on a couple of different radio stations around the Midwest today, and they all want to know Williams, what scares you about the Iowa Hawkeyes? And I'll say this because I think it's fair to throw this to you. I think how this game is officiated is going to be so critical. If it's a tight game, I think that favors the Iowa Hawkeyes.
No question.
I think that they're a strong favorite if it's a tightly officiated game. But if it's one of those crews that lets you play, you know, Iowa State winning by 10 points in Hilton wouldn't shock me either. Iowa, we've seen struggles with some crazy athletic teams. I think Iowa State fits into that realm when they can go 7 deep, but when they got to go 8, 9 deep, it could be an issue.
Yeah, I think starting 5 for 5, if it just played each other, Iowa State would win 7 times out of 10. Now, college basketball is a weird game. The ball can bounce different ways, but where Iowa's really good is they can throw 10, 11 guys at you comfortably. Mm-hmm. It's not Iowa State's depth where they have 7, 8 max, really, is all they want to play. They're comfortable with. Iowa has five. They've got waves of 5 guys, and they can all do different things, and they're long. That's where they get you, is they can send body after body at you, and it wears on you. I mean, you've got 7-1 Woodbury, who by himself is not intimidating, but then you couple that with a 6'9 Aaron White, and then you bring Olashani off the bench at 6'9, 6'10. It adds up. And so that does concern me, is how the game is called in Hilton. I think it helps Iowa State because, for whatever reason, the home team generally gets some help as far as the whistles are concerned. But, yeah, I think if Iowa State can stay out of foul trouble, they win this game 8 out of 10 times, 7 out of 10 times.
You know what scares me about this game, to be honest with you? Iowa State scares me about this game. And I say that to say this. If they start this game the way they started the UNI game, you can forget about it. They're not going to come back. And it goes back into the depth. I mean, that game when it started out, I mean, it was a terrible showing. I was really wondering who was on the court, why they were on the court, what they were doing. They're going to have to show up and play a complete game for this game to be exciting. But the great thing about it is that they are playing in Hilton, and that's what gives the uptick to this team. They play better at home. You know, the Hilton fans, they come in, magic's in the air. It's hard to play there.
And the one guy in this game who I think is the biggest matchup problem on either side is on Iowa State's side, and that's DeAndre Kane. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how they're going to guard him. I really don't.
What are you going to do, put Gazelle on him?
I don't know. You can't do that. Yeah. You can put Marble, and then he's going to get in foul trouble. He's their best scoring option. I have no idea how Iowa's going to guard him. I'm comfortable with what Iowa State can do against Iowa defensively because we've seen Niang and Edgem guard bigger guys. And let's face it, Adam Woodbury's post-up game at this time is limited. I mean, it's not really there yet. Now, it might be in 2 years, but it's not like Thomas Robinson from Kansas a couple years ago is just going to back him down and post him up. And their forwards otherwise are face-up guys. They're not going to go on the low block and do damage. So
I don't know how Woodbury makes much of an impact in this game at all. I mean, if I'm Fran McCaffrey, I consider barely even playing the kid. Yeah. Because you've seen from Iowa, when they're playing a team like at Iowa State from that athleticism, when they run like Iowa State does, the smaller they go, it's almost the better that they play. And I just don't know, because I feel like if you throw Woodbury out there, George Niang is going to be salivating to get him into foul trouble. It won't take much.
And then when they go small, though, we go back to what you were talking about. I mean, first of all, DeAndre Kane is a nightmare for this team, and I'm sure that's what they're trying to figure out what they're going to do.
Really.
But what I'm saying is that when you go small, you're really going to have a problem because he's going to take over the paint. You get Hogue, you get Edgem down there. They're going to need their big man to play. That's the problem. They're going to need rebounding.
But you and I wrote the script of how you defend Iowa State. You challenge 2 shooters in Long and Thomas, and everybody else, you back off and you play that pack defense inside. And it worked for you and I for a half.
Well, it worked because we weren't shooting well. I mean, that's the difference. You can sit there and say, hey, but not really. That team shot terrible in the first half.
Right. I mean,
there's no doubt about it. They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, man.
I agree with you, but if I'm going to roll the dice, I'm backing off DeAndre Kane every single time because I'd rather him make a 3-pointer. Otherwise, he's going to drive right past me and get a layup, get fouled, create a shot for somebody else. That's the defense people are going to play against Iowa State.
But when you have Kane, though, in the way the game is officiated now, I mean, that's a huge weapon, though, from the standpoint of that guy. Realistically, as you saw in the last 5 minutes of that game against Northern Iowa, Iowa State was not running plays. They said, spread it out. We're going to isolate him. DeAndre Kane's going to go straight NBA ball on us. Yeah. He looked like something like they would call for LeBron down there in Miami in – you know what? Damn it, if I'm not going to score, I'm going to get fouled and go to the free throw line at the very least. And I don't know why they don't just do that from the start against Iowa.
Thank
I think
you
can really make an impact in the first 5 minutes.
No, and they will. And that's the first go-to offense for Iowa State. But what you and I was able to do was then send 3 guys back and just kind of put a wall up around the rim and then stop him when he got there. DeAndre Kane struggled in the first half. He was like 2 of 8 from the floor because he was getting challenge shots at the rim. That's how you defend him. You make him shoot the ball from outside, but it's easier said than done. DeAndre Kane eventually imparted his will on that game. He's a tough guy.
He really did take over the ball.
So gritty. All right.
Hey, you know, how smart was he? Thinking about, not to cut you off, thinking about DeAndre Kane, this is something that was, I'm watching the game and it instantly clicked in my mind. Late in the game, in that overtime, every time he rebounded the ball, he just walked it down. Now, we've seen a lot of players here, young players, and even transfers. I mean, not to knock on Corey Lucius, but he rebounds that ball, we're flying down the other side of the court. How smart is that guy as a veteran just to walk the ball every single time?
He's a
great mind.
Kid. Let's go to the guy who recruited him, Matt Abdelmassey, on the Hy-V hotline right now on the Wilson Toyota Cyclone Fanatic radio show from Benchwarmers in Ankeny as we get you prepped for Friday night's Cy-Hawk showdown in Hilton Coliseum. Matt, welcome to the program. We're talking about DeAndre Kane. We're salivating over how well he played in the last 10 minutes of Saturday's comeback win over Northern Iowa. I don't know how much of this conversation you heard, but, hey, I got an idea. So you take this to Fred tomorrow when you're at practice and say, Williams told me to tell you, just isolate DeAndre Kane. That's your play. That's what you call every time down for 10 minutes and just get the entire Iowa Hawkeye lineup in foul trouble. What do you think about that?
Sounds like a plan to me. Maybe you should coach the game on Friday.
Yeah. Fran would coach in circles about me. That's what you guys are there for. But for real, though, I mean, it's an incredible weapon when you have a guy like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a mismatch nightmare, something that that Fred is unbelievable at and putting in situations where we expose those mismatches. And a kid or a guy of his stature who's strong, who's got the size and physicality where you can throw him in the post or isolate him with his strength and be able to get by guys. I mean, that's a great asset to have and clearly shown through these first seven games.
To follow up on the DeAndre Kane question, Rob Gray from the Cedar Rapids Gazette wrote a nice piece today, kind of comparing DeAndre and Royce White, who played for Iowa State a couple of years ago, was a lottery pick. What do you think of that comparison? Because I get what Rob wrote, and I thought he did a nice job with it. I think there are a lot of comparisons between the two. The way they, just kind of run the team out there to their games. How would you analyze that?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, I think when people compare, it's fair. I mean, the one thing with Royce was the physicality he brought to the game was a little bit more intimidating. I mean, DeAndre, not to discredit what he brings to the table, but when you see a 6'8", 270-pound guy come down the middle of the lane, that's a scary thought, I'm sure, for a lot of the defenses that we faced in his year he played for us. But I think that their basketball IQ is right there. Their ability to expose those mismatches is right there. And the one thing is DeAndre's vision is unbelievable, and I thought Royce's, of course, was as well. So I saw it in the article, the triple-double thing. I mean, you would think DeAndre will have an opportunity to come close to that, where Royce got one against Texas A&M, and I think the comparison is right on.
Our guy John Walters had a stat today. DeAndre Kane, the only guy in the country averaging more than 15 points, more than 8 rebounds, more than 5 assists. So he is a statistical guy. And Matt, if you look at the stats when you're preparing for Iowa, what's the one thing that concerns you guys about them? First glance, just looking at those guys that are really long up front, is the size the biggest concern with the Hawkeyes?
Well, I mean, no doubt about the size, but really the biggest thing is their ability to score in transition. We really have to do a good job of rebounding the basketball on Friday night. Because if we don't and we make it a track meet with their depth, it could cause us a lot of problems. So that's the biggest thing, is rebounding the basketball, getting back on defense and clogging up the lane where they can drive the ball. If we do those things, we feel like we'll put ourselves in a situation to win the game.
Coach, just follow me with this stat line. 9 of 13 from the field, 4 of 7 from the three-point line. 0 free throws. I'm talking about Melvin Edgem. How much better is this kid going to get? He has amazed me from goal, coming off the injury. I mean, he's just a different guy. He's a little different than he was last year. You can see that leadership in him. The emotion that I didn't think Melvin Edgem had has just come out, and he's, I mean, this kid scoring from three, beating on his chest, getting in people's face. He's a different guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think Melvin being his fourth year, which is absolutely crazy to think this is Melvin's final year at Iowa State. I mean, he's grown as a basketball player, grown as a person. That's the one thing that's so special about him is, although we love him on the court, I mean, he's just an unbelievable person off the court, but he's worked on his game, that three-point shot, which coach has really worked on trying to make sure he's more consistent. That's clearly shown these last couple seasons, especially this season, with his effectiveness from the perimeter. But there's no doubt about it. His offensive game has really turned around to where he's as lethal of a scorer as there is in the Big 12 and possibly the country. And he's that mismatch nightmare that coach just absolutely loves.
Matt, there's another guy who you recruited is Dustin Hoge. He was like the Oscar Robertson National Player of the Week. I didn't know that award existed, but nonetheless, a nice honor for him, Big 12 Player of the Week. You know, I thought you guys were getting a really nice defender and a guy who could chip away at the boards and probably crack your starting five, but I had no idea we were going to see a 17-14 game that he had on Saturday. Heck, he had a double-double with like 9 minutes to go in the first half against Auburn. This kid's just playing out of his mind. Be honest with me, did you think in any possible way he would be putting up these type of statistics through seven games?
The one stat that does not shock me is I thought he could lead the Big 12 in rebounding, and me and him set a goal a long time ago to lead the country in rebounding. Wow. So he's right there. So we knew that he was going to be a specimen on the board. The scoring, I mean, we thought that if he could average somewhere around 8-9 points that we were going to get something that was where we feel really good about, and he's shooting the ball extremely well, but it goes with all our guys. They just work so hard out of the structured practice setting, and he's one of them. He's always in the gym working on his shot, working on his game, and that's shown through these seven games. He's been a huge part of our success, and I don't doubt that he'll continue to put that work in and get us some more wins.
Talking with Iowa State assistant basketball coach Matt Abdelmassi. And Matt, both you and Iowa like to score the ball. You guys are first in the nation right now in scoring, which is fantastic. Hoiball lives. But what type of tempo do you expect on Friday night? I know you're worried about their transition game, but you guys love to run too. Is this a game that we could see get in the upper 80s and 90s?
There's no doubt that we feel like the game could get up there, but in order for us to give ourselves the best chance to win, we really feel like we have to do a good job of picking our spots to run and try and get in the track meet with them. I mean, we got in that situation with Baylor, but we feel like if we can make it a half-court game, we like our chances a lot better than giving them easy opportunities around the basket, which they're probably one of the most effective teams in the country at is scoring the ball in transition. So, I mean, can the game be in the 80s, 90s? There's no doubt about it. We're more in favor of trying to have the game a little bit lower than that, where we're picking our opportunities and definitely squandering any opportunities they have in transition.
Well, Coach, best of luck. We appreciate you joining us tonight on the Hy-Vee Hotline. And Bulls, Knicks tonight. Got any predictions? Seems like the Bulls and Knicks always play when you're on.
They don't have a first-round draft pick, so it's miserable. So I don't really care who wins.
Have you watched the Bulls? They're terrible.
Knicks are worse.
They are worse.
They'll still make the playoffs, whereas the Knicks, who knows what they'll do.
Well, best of luck to you, and hopefully your Cyclones keep winning. Salvage your winter.
Thanks, Matt.
See you, Matt.
All right.
Matt Abdelmassi, Iowa State assistant basketball coach on the Hy-Vee Hotline. You got to see Bloom and Abdelmassi when they get together because you – I mean, Tron, you like the NBA, but you're not, like, obsessive over it. You actually have another life.
Yeah.
Bloom just sits around on his iPad and watches NBA games all night.
The Knicks lost on Friday night. I watched some of this, unfortunately, to the Celtics by 45.
Wow. It's Brad Stevens.
45 points to Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens. I mean, he's the man is a genius.
Gosh. It was amazing.
What happened to that team? I mean, they're talented. They're a talented team. They got talent.
Not sure Mike Woodson's the answer at head coach.
Wow.
Carmelo, not exactly what we call a winner.
They call him Mellow Yellow, brother.
All right, we're going to take our break. I want to talk football when we come back before we get to Billy Finley. It's 6:35, and then, of course, we have five questions. Final five questions of 2013. We are here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny getting ready to chow down on the Hoiberger after this. It's dynamite. You got to check it out. Wilson Toyota Bame, Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show on 1460 KXNO.
Maybe you're driving to work. Maybe you're driving home. Maybe you're driving the kids to school. or maybe gas prices are driving you crazy. That's why you should drive by Hy-Vee and sign up for the Hy-Vee Fuel Saver Rewards Card. With Hy-Vee's Fuel Saver program, you simply shop at Hy-Vee and earn savings on gas. You could save $2 or more per gallon each week. Just to drive the point home, sign up for Hy-Vee Fuel Saver today. Some restrictions apply.
Hey, Cyclone Fanatics, Chris Williams here. And one of the things I love about going into Mr. B's each week to chat Cyclones with Tim Sitzman, I get to watch how the store is run. Every customer is greeted sincerely. They're catered to their entire time they're in the store. The customer service is just really fun to watch. The employees are friendly. Let me tell you this, they know their stuff. So if you've never been to Mr. B's, trust me, you've got to check it out. They are the absolute best. That's Mr. B Clothing for men and women, located on 86th Street in Clive.
As a small business owner, this is one of the sweetest sounds you can hear. After all, more calls mean more customers. And now U.S. Cellular wants to give one lucky small business owner up to $25,000 in advertising so they can turn into more advertising means more sales. Enter the Spotlight on America's Backbone contest, and you could win up to $25,000 in advertising for your small business. Just go to americasbackbone.com and enter by September 1st. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Ends 9/113. For official contest rules and details, visit americasbackbone.com.
Phillips Floors is proud to support Iowa State Athletics and CycloneFanatic.com, the best site around for talking about Cyclone sports. Phillips Floors is a full-service flooring company that offers professional, high-quality installation of hardwood, ceramic tile, natural stone, carpet, and vinyl floors. Call us today for a free estimate and an in-home consultation in the Indianola area at 515-961-7300 or in Ankeny at 515-964-0454. Visit us on the web today at phillipsfloors.com.
You know, Iowa Realty is all about marketing tools. For more than half a century now, in fact, 60 full years, Iowa Realty has offered buyers and sellers more to get the job done. IowaRealty.com, the most comprehensive real estate website in Iowa. We have our weekly television show, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on ABC 5 or online, our quarterly magazine, the Iowa Realty section of the Des Moines Sunday Register, and our revolutionary new Iowa Realty mobile app. From Iowa Realty, Iowa's largest.
If you're tuned into the Cyclone Fanatic radio show and you're not a proud owner of your very own man cave, then I got to ask you this simple question. What in the world is wrong with you anyway? Cyclone Fanatics, this is Chris Williams here on behalf of Custom Granite of Central Iowa. Now, football season is finally here, and chances are you've got a man cave at the very least on your mind. You want to build a bar? Well, you need to do it right. You've got to outfit your man cave with my guys at Custom Granite of Central Iowa. Do this. It's very simple. Call my guy, Big Mike Fontana, at 515-249-8777, and he is going to hook you up. Remember, you're going to do the man cave. You got to do it right. Check him out on the web at CustomGraniteIowa.com.
Hey there, Cyclone Nation. This is Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames. Consider this your personal invitation for the greatest car buying experience of your life. Located at 2212 South Duff Avenue in Ames, Wilson Toyota has been proudly serving Iowa Staters for decades, and we're proud to be the official car dealership of CycloneFanatic.com. Stop on in and check out our terrific selection of new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Or feel free to give me a call personally at 515-598-2029. Tell us that Cyclone Fanatic sent you, and as always, go Cyclones.
Your home for Iowa State women's basketball is right here. This is head coach Bill Fenley on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to the Wilson Toyota of Ames Cyclone Fanatic radio show here on 1460 KXNO. Special Wednesday night installment of the program. We're done for the year. After this, we'll be back first week of January when Big 12 basketball is about ready to tip off. We'll have a lot to talk about then as Iowa State will have a new offensive coordinator on Paul Rhodes' football staff, and that's where we'll fire it up. If you hear something you'd like to chime in, give us a call, 515-284-5966, 515-284-5966. You can reach us on the Hy-Vee hotline. We'll have Billy Finnelly from the Iowa State women's basketball program joining us here in about 10 minutes or so to preview tomorrow night's game. That you can hear right here on 1460 KXNO. Gentlemen, the footballscoop.com is it's like a rumors website. Yesterday they threw one out there that either Chris Klonakis or Todd Sturdy, currently on Iowa State's coaching staff, were likely to be promoted to offensive coordinator. You know, and I made some calls in the afternoon. I'd heard a lot about Klonakis, hadn't heard much from Todd Sturdy's standpoint. And then I, you know, and I talked to somebody who goes, you know, that would really surprise me, somebody who I fairly trust. So, you know, I'm putting all these pieces together, and frankly, this is what I think. I think that Rhodes is playing this thing so close to the vest. I don't think anybody has any clue. These football scoop type websites, they likely find one tiny little murmur and then they blow it up into something else. And who knows? I think Klonakis could get the job. I'm not confident he's going to get the job. And I'll pose this question to each of you. Would you be okay with that, Tron, if they promoted Chris Klonakis to offensive coordinator? Because it seems right now his name has the most legs. Again, we're not reporting anything. I don't believe it. And I think that there's three or four guys that are probably going to get interviews. But would you be okay with that?
You know, okay. And it, of course I would be okay with it. It's not what I would push forward to, though. I mean, I think that they need to go out and get some new blood. And to be honest with you, with the shakeup of college football here in the next week or so, there's going to be a lot of coaches available. There's going to be
Brown?
A lot.
Well, Mac I mean, Brown, maybe?
Max definitely done. There's no. I'm not
no,
saying they're
Mac
going to come
to Iowa State.
No, no, no.
He's been in Iowa State before. Why not?
And just to address the
I'm joking, Hawk
had,
fan. Yeah, don't tweet at me. Don't tweet at me, Hawk fan. It's a joke. Go ahead.
And just for the Hawk fan also, trust me, we're not going to contact Saban either. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, I think there's going to be a lot mixed up. I think at this point we wait and see what's out. You need some fresh blood, and you need someone to come in and kind of shake things up. Would I be okay with it? Absolutely. I think he can probably do the job. But I think it's a very risky hire if you do that because we just saw that. You know, we're going to be looking in the mirror. We just tried that. We took a guy from within, and we gave him the opportunity. It didn't work. Different guys, I understand that. But
can't miss,
you know,
on this one.
It's got to be right.
If you hire an internal guy, you lose the PR battle, which that doesn't win or lose football games.
No.
But I'm just that's what happens.
Right.
It's not going to be –
Paul Rhodes being hired wasn't really the PR move for Jamie Pollard either.
And you lose that, which, again, is absolutely meaningless, except when you care about the – you know, ticket sales and that type of thing, which it won't impact a whole lot. Now, if Chris Klonakis was hired this year rather than last year with his resume, I think people would be really excited. Because if you look at his pedigree, it's exciting from the outside. I mean, he was an outside guy coming in last year, but he's associated with last year's offense, unfortunately for him. But you look at his pedigree, was the offensive coordinator at Nevada, revolutionized the pistol, which is a revolutionary offense, which you need something unique at Iowa State, which he has in the pistol. He coached Colin Kaepernick, who's a pretty good quarterback with the 49ers. He's been an offensive line coach in a lot of spots. And so if this hire happened this year rather than last year, people would be excited about Klonakis, but he is attached to last year, and so that's not going to go over great. But I think he has the tools. If they hire one of those two guys, the quarterback coach hire is critical, because that's the area where Iowa State has struggled forever, is getting a quarterback to progress and get better. Rojas got better as the year went on, but we really haven't seen it because I'm not sure the quarterback coaching has been an integral part. Like Arnott said in our show last week, Messingham was not a quarterback's coach, but they put him as the quarterback's coach and didn't quite work out. So they need to get a quarterback guru in there in one shape or form. He doesn't necessarily have to call the plays, but they need an improvement out of that position one way or another.
I guess I'm kind of where I'm right in between both of you. I'm like Tron. Like, I wouldn't freak out if they hired Chris Klonakis. I don't think it'd be a bad move. But at the same point, like you noted, Bloom, I mean, he was in the offensive meeting rooms going into last year. He was part of the game planning decisions. He was part of all that. To what extent, I don't know. I wasn't in there. But, and that's why when we found out that Messingham actually was going to be fired, when I mentioned Chris Klonakis, I came up with 9 or 10 names. That's where I was a little bit lukewarm on the idea because, as you said, he did hire in-house one time and it didn't work. It's just, you're right. If you're Paul Rhodes and you make this hire, it's fine, and I think most fans would. Bloom just painted a pretty good picture as why Chris Klonakis wouldn't be a bad guy, but I also think that you're towing a fine line now because you have an opportunity, right? Frankly, you've had a very lukewarm, and that's being kind. That's painting a positive picture of Iowa State's offense the last 5 years. Hasn't been any good. And right now you got a big opportunity. It's the most important hire Paul Rhodes is probably ever going to make. Not
not counting that first staff that he placed together when he was the head coach at Iowa State. You're towing a fine line, but if it works, I mean, you look like it. I don't know. It is a tough decision for
Paul. If it doesn't
Rhodes
work, though, it's an even tougher situation for Paul
Rhodes. Well,
that's
usually
the problem.
What happens
is
the
risk. Is it worth the risk? Is
well,
what
happens,
you got to look at.
Usually you get to hire your coordinators a second time, and then they're pointing at you.
You know, and the thing is, let's not be naive. I mean, this is a ball club that won three games. At the end of the day, you know, I need to say, listen, guys, I got something special coming in new this year, and that's why you buy season tickets. That's why you show up for Cyclone football next year, because the offensive guy that was running the offense and the guys that was doing this last year are no longer calling the shots. We got a new guy. We got new blood. We still got to sell tickets here.
Let me throw this out, though. Having a guy that was there last year may not be a bad idea, because I think they've got some pieces next year that could be pretty good.
No, I do, too.
And so if you hit the reset button totally, you may waste the senior years of an E.J. Bubbs, of an Aaron Wimberly,
no, you're right.
Of those veteran guys. Chris Klonakis is aware of what they're doing. Same with Todd Sturdy.
Yep.
So maybe continuity here isn't the worst thing, because you could have a pretty good offense next year.
But don't you get those guys anyway? I mean, you get those guys anyway. Those guys don't go away. And let's be honest. I mean, no one's going to come in and reinvent the wheel in 1 year.
But you learn a new system. Myers talked about it. Arnott's talked about it. It's really hard to learn a new system if you only have a spring to do it.
And that's why it's Paul Rhodes. That's why he's making the call, because the guy isn't stupid. Very smart guy.
And there are nuances to this conversation, like Bloom just pointed out, that guys like us don't really have a clue about. And I just remember when Paul hired Courtney, one of the big reasons was terminology. He didn't want to have to press reset in the spring. And if you promote from within one of those two guys, perhaps. And how do we know, per se, how much, you know, Chris Klonakis, like I said, was in the meeting room, but how do we know how much say he actually
had? Dude, they were 3-9, okay? Yeah. Let's not forget that they were 3-9, okay, guys? I mean, we're sitting here, we're having a conversation like this. They were 3-9, okay? There's a lot of problems. It's not just the OC. It's everybody in that offensive room has got a problem there. Dude, they were 3-9, okay?
But to expand on my point,
in case you forgot.
Rarely, unless you have Gus Malzahn on, rarely in the first year of a coordinator do you have a good year. Iowa's a good example. Remember the last year under Greg Davis, struggled immensely offensively. They got worse than they did when they hired him. But this year, too, they got better. So it's just a matter of timing and who you want in there. I don't know.
It's tough.
If they hire from within, it will not go over great in the fan base, but it's hard to judge how good of a hire it is.
You know, the thing is, if they hire from within, let's just hypothetically think. They hire from within and they lose the first three. What happens?
I know. Not good.
I mean, really, what happens? I mean, it's disaster.
Well,
if you hire from outside, at least you have the sake to say, you know what, the guy's new, he's changing things.
If you're going to hire Chris Klonakis, why didn't you just change it halfway through the season? I mean, if that was in your back pocket.
You had him there. It was a thought in your mind.
And it's not like the offense was screaming in the middle of October.
I'll say this. If they hire internally Sturdy or Klonakis, that takes some big cojones from Rhodes.
Well, he's got a lot of trust in one of those guys.
Because that is a
He's
huge decision.
Hanging it all out there.
Yeah. So
I agree with Williams. I think if that's what you're thinking, because they were bad early. I mean, we knew something was going to change. I think you make that call in October. I think we look at a different guy. We were having a conversation late in the year. We were saying, okay, is someone else calling the plays here? Are we looking at the same play caller? You know.
And how do we know too, though, that Paul hasn't been on the road and, you know, he's made 20 calls and he's got five guys, and he goes, you know what, this is the best situation, too.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's going to be a lot of shaking here in the next week or so. I mean, there's going to be a lot.
Interesting times. I wrote in Monday Musings that this, from starting last Monday till the end of this recruiting period, probably the most important 2 weeks of off-season Iowa State football in the Rhodes era. I don't think there's any question.
It's not just one coach offensively. It's two.
And we think three.
Maybe three.
I'm pretty confident in three.
There's a lot of change regardless.
Absolutely.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, nonetheless, odd times that we are under right now. We're working to get Billy Finley on the Hy-Vee hotline here so we can talk a little Iowa State women's basketball as the Cyclones will take on the Hawkeyes tomorrow night at Hilton Coliseum. A couple nights at Hilton in a row. Some big-time recruiting. Iowa State has signed, well, not signed, but has commitments from four junior college players who realistically all have an opportunity to crack the starting lineup. All those guys, too, are going to be on campus in January. Tron, we don't need to get into the specific players. Just from your experience What do you think about that? Do you like the JUCO? I think they have to go this
Yeah,
route. I don't think
and there you go. That's what
it.
I was going to say. It's not like they had too many options here. They're going. There's a lot of question on defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of question. Who's your linebacker? If you really think about it, they don't even have leadership. If you really think about it, you think about the defense.
I mean,
who's
Kane
leading
Sealy
his defense
in the middle,
out there?
And he's
I mean,
never
that's,
played.
You know, that's about it. I think it's a great call. You get a guy that's got some experience. Yeah, you're coming into the Big 12. It possibly could be a lot faster, a lot smarter for you. It's going to be a lot of learning curves, but they're coming in early. They're going to have the opportunity. They're going to need all the help they can get, man. I mean, the thing that I do like about it is you still got Rodney Coy, as we saw last year. He came on late. He's starting to figure it out. You still have Irving there.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have some pieces to this puzzle, but I'm telling you, when you're missing, when you have no answers at linebacker, I mean, when Jake and AJ left, we had just Jeremiah. We went through some growing pains. Now you got nobody back there.
Yeah.
You got nobody calling the plays. It's a tough deal. I don't think they had any other option but to go to the JUCO route.
And Iowa State's had success there in the past at both positions. The linebacker they got is from the same junior college as Tim Dobbins, who came in and really transformed Iowa State's defense back in 2004 and 2005.
Yeah, played on Sundays.
And then the safety, Darrell Gavins was a JUCO, turned in pretty good safety. Iowa State needs linebackers. They need safeties. And the junior college kids get a misnomer sometimes. But Chris and I were talking about this earlier today. At the end of the last season, Iowa State's three best players, it's arguable, were junior college guys. Aaron Wimberly, E.J. Bibbs, and then Rodney Coe.
Boy, if they could replicate that this year, then all of a sudden you're probably 7-8 wins.
Yeah, and they've the last couple.
Sounds crazy, but I think it's legitimate, too.
Well, it's back to those pieces we were talking about. And that's why this coach, you know, and I agree with you. We keep bringing up the OC, but there's a running back coach here, too, you know, which is going to make a big deal when you think about Wimberly in his last year. You know, what do we want to see different? There's a lot of pieces there, so if you get it wrong on this one, there's going to be a lot of red flags.
Yeah, but Blue makes a great point, though. Just think, like, let's just throw it out there. If the four guys who they just got on junior college turn out like the three from last year, that's a nice little nucleus. Mm-hmm.
And you can't get it. I mean,
but that's the chances of that happening. I mean, they batted 1,000 last year. That didn't happen in junior college recruiting very often. But they're not recruiting the Henry Simons of the world anymore. They're recruiting against legitimate BCS programs who they're beating these guys out for.
And these guys aren't, you know, academic issues for the most part, but the reason why they're coming to Iowa State is because they've given them the keys to the car and said, hey,
it's the old Bill Snyder, man.
You're going to come in. You will literally start. I think they told the linebacker that.
Yeah.
He's like, you are our Jeremiah
the
George.
The second you step on
you
this
are
campus,
the starter.
You're the man.
So you have no competition whatsoever.
It is a good recruiting tactic.
You will have 100 tackles because our defensive line is that sketchy. All right. Let's go. To just, Billy Finley.
You're joking, but it's kind of true.
Well, why do you think I preached all summer that Jeremiah George would lead the Big 12 in tackles?
You called him a first-teamer, lo and behold.
I was right. No offense, it's not because Jeremiah is Lawrence Taylor. It's because he's going to rack up a ton of statistics. Why do you think Jesse Smith had all those tackles? I've seen this movie before. Billy Finley! Hy-Vee Hotline.
Put
What's
him
up,
linebacker.
Buddy? Yeah, you want to play a little linebacker for the Clones next year? You got some eligibility.
Nah, I'll pass on that. I pulled my name out of the offensive coordinator search, too, so I'm sticking with basketball.
Did you get a call? Did your agent get a call?
He did, you know, so I'm working on a little extension here, you know. But I'm going to stay
easy
where
saving.
I'm at.
Do women's basketball coaches have agents? That's a great question, because I'd like to know, like, did they negotiate with your dad? Like, how did that work? Or was it you and your dad just sitting down having a conversation?
Well, I don't think assistant coaches have agents. If they do, I surely don't know about it. But, most of the head coaches, I say, do nowadays just because of the way the profession is and the money that these people are spending. So most of the head coaches, yes.
I could wreak a little havoc around the seasons. Hey, Dad, call my agent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that works. Christmas dinner.
Yeah,
you're
going
to have to talk to my agent. Yeah. All right, Billy, big game tomorrow night, man. We're pumped up about it. A couple top 25 teams going at it. You guys have had an active week, though. Matty Beyer out with an ACL. That's a tough break for your program. Bryn Williamson noted she did practice earlier in the week, so she should be good to go. I would assume, you can correct me if I'm wrong, against the Hawkeyes tomorrow night. Just give us a little update on that, and you also added the new player to your roster here midseason. What's the deal? A little volleyball action.
Bobby Boucher, what's going on,
man? Yeah, give us a little personnel update.
Well, you know, like you said, Bryn's been practicing, so she'll be ready to go tomorrow. You know, no bones about that. Obviously, Maddie, you know, I mean, people look at the stat line and they're like, oh, you know, she averaged 10 minutes and 3 points and 3 rebounds. You know, we ought to be able to make that up. But she was 6'4", and that's, you don't just make that up when the next kid off the bench is 5'10". So, I mean, that's a legitimate concern. And, you know, those were big 10 minutes. And in close games, you know, probably more like 5 or 6. But those are big minutes. I mean, not every night Allie's going to be able to play 40. So we had to do something. And, you know, as soon as we heard, we kind of just brainstormed real quick on, is there anything, anybody that could give us any size? And we know a couple years ago, the volleyball coaches mentioned Tanisha Matlock's name to us as somebody who played in high school and just a freak athlete. So Pete Link, our strength coach, actually worked with her with volleyball before he came over to us. We reached out to her, and to her credit, yesterday came over. We started all the paperwork. She was at practice last night. All the paperwork through, she's cleared, and don't be surprised if you see her in tomorrow. No promises, but she is legit 6'2", can jump out of the building, long. Obviously, you know, when she gets a rebound, she kind of like wants to drop it and celebrate. Get her high five. But this is basketball where now we got to put it back in the basket or go run a play. So we're working through those kinks. But, you know, obviously it's nice to have that option when you can. And somebody who obviously is very athletic, Christy recruits great athletes. So I don't know if this is going to be a tactic of ours in the future, but when you're desperate, you got to do it. And she's a great kid so far, fit in really well, and we'll see what she can do.
Billy, it sounds like the start of a Disney movie. I think you should drop a final play for her against Iowa tomorrow and see what happens.
But yes.
Now, the game itself, I know everyone's talking about the men's game Friday, but this is a matchup of two ranked teams in the women's game as well. This is a huge, huge game for you guys.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, very similar to the men's game, you know, in terms of what we got going on. We're undefeated. They have one loss. They've beaten two top 25 teams at home, lost to one on the road. They're a really good team. They got 5 kids who average double figures. They're averaging 84 points a game. We're averaging 82. So it's going to be an entertaining game. Hopefully one that, you know, people who aren't huge women's basketball fans, if they pay attention to it just because they're Iowa State, Iowa rival, you know, people, that they'll be enjoyed. I expect a huge crowd tomorrow night. Our fans will be rocking, getting ready for Friday night. But it's a huge game for us. Probably our first real test. You know, no mistake about that. But I think our kids are ready for it. And hopefully we can go out, execute, do the things we need to do to protect our home court like we have for the last, you know, 6-7 years at home in the non-conference, and send those guys back to Iowa City with a big loss.
Looking at their personnel, Billy, I always like looking at the opponent's stats. And their guard, Melissa Dixon, if I'm reading this correctly, might be a typo. She's fired up 101 threes already through 11 games. I mean, how is that even possible?
That is correct. I told Coach Hoiberg that today. We were talking. He goes, oh, gosh, you could play for me. And but, you know, honestly, she's made 20 threes in her last 3 games.
Wow.
She broke the Iowa record with 7 3 games ago, tied it 2 games ago, and had 6 in their last game. So,
wow,
gets it up. She gets it up quick, and that's obviously a focal point. You got to start there. Anybody knocks in 7 threes on you, it's going to be hard to beat. So we'll start there, try to limit her, put some different looks at on her on the perimeter, and then they got a bunch of other players. Sam Logic is an all-Big Ten player. Their post player, similar to Hallie, likes to come away from the basket. Can't shoot the 3, but we're going to try to run her ragged. On the defensive end, trying to guard Hallie. So, I don't know. They played a lot of zone. You know, they could try to zone us if they think that's the best way to stop Hallie. But we'll see a lot of different looks. You know, I know one thing is they're a good offensive team. We're a good offensive team. It's going to be an exciting game. And hopefully our freshmen are up for it like I think they are. And it'll be a rocking environment here for sure.
You know, if you can get Bryn going, we can watch a good old-fashioned NBA three-point contest there. That would be good to see. But, you know, Billy, it's always exciting. Me and Chris, we always talk about how big of a fan we are when it comes to women's basketball. And you and your dad and your coaching staff, you guys do a great job of putting great products on the court. And that's why there'll be so many people there. You know, I'm excited to see this game, watching Iowa. For a long time, this rivalry has been pretty good. It's been pretty entertaining. Looking at this team and what they bring to the court, for me, as I watch and think about what we have, you know, I expect a pretty good night out of Nikki Moody. You know, watching how they're going to guard her, that's my mismatch. We talked about DeAndre Kane earlier. I think that we have something there. Is that something we're looking to exploit there? And then the second part of that question is, you know, thinking about the officiating, I should have asked Bloom. He probably would have gave me a better answer. With the way they're calling the game and touch fouls, do you guys see much of that in the women's game also?
First question with Nikki, you know, a lot's been made up of Sam Logic and her ability as a point guard to do different things. So we've kind of told Nikki that and let her see all that and put a nice little chip on her shoulder. And I think she'll be ready to go. She's had two of her better days of practice the last 2 days, and she's focused to try to be somebody that seems to be left out of this that, you know, should probably be mentioned a little bit more. In terms of fouls, we have, you know, we've shot a ton of free throws. Luckily, so far, we've been making them at a pretty high clip. And that's a focal point for us, too. I think one thing, you know, they may shoot the ball a little bit more than us, but, you know, how they're going to – if Shauna and Jada and Nikki really want to get to the basket and put some pressure on their defense, you know, they could shoot a lot of free throws or they can make a lot of layups. So hopefully we're going to exploit that on the offensive end, trying to put a lot of pressure on them to decide what they want to do. And keeping those guys in front of them has not been easy for anybody so far. So hopefully we can keep that going tomorrow night.
Billy, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you very much. And we'll all be at Hilton Coliseum tomorrow night. And best of luck to you and your staff and your team, all right?
Appreciate it, guys. Take care, man.
All right, Billy Finley, letting him off of the Hy-Vee hot seat.
It's gonna be a great
two big
game.
Games. Great, you know, it's gonna be a great weekend. I mean, you think about it. Two big games back to back.
I wouldn't
Friday.
Be surprised. There's 11, 12, 12, 5 there.
It'll be
next
nuts.
Tomorrow. I mean, they're gonna get 11,000-12,000 people for the women's game.
One of my favorite moments
crazy.
Ever in a women's basketball game was 2 years ago when Iowa was in town, and it was the year that Bill couldn't really talk.
Yes,
and I mean, he was just going berserk after this foul that was called. And then you got Billy and you have Josh Carper who, I mean, basically threw Bill down to the bench. And they're like, all right, we'll take care of this, coach. And just went off on this official. I wasn't covering that game. I was actually sitting in the front row and really enjoying the front row view. I took my in-laws to that game. My mother-in-law is a very shy woman. And she's like, oh, it's a women's basketball game. It'll be, you know, we're just going to kick our feet up and it'll be a nice, jolly good time. She had no idea how crazy those people
were. Oh, they had no idea that they had Tony Soprano sitting over there coaching the Iowa State women's Cyclone team.
It was awesome.
And what people don't realize is Iowa stopped playing this series because they didn't think Iowa State was at their level. Iowa State was not good enough to play Iowa back in the day is what they said. And these two programs, yeah, they're – friendly, but there's some
it'll get tense.
Yeah, there's some not tension,
absolutely.
But that's a really friendly rivalry. Like there's these two head coaches both get after it. They're recruiting the same types of players. It's going to be intense tomorrow. It's a must see game. Really
friendly rivalry. That's like saying black guy water polo. It doesn't work, man.
Well, it is still a basketball game. So at the end of the day. We're not talking.
If I would have said that, I would have got kicked off the air. But Tron can say it. All right,
friendly
five questions
rivalry.
Brought to you by our good friends at Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine.
You can
we'll
use
get
that tomorrow if you want.
Personalized care that you deserve. 515-440-2676. Doesn't matter if you're a weekend warrior or a pro. Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine at dsmcapitalortho.com. Five questions, starting with this. Who's the next head coach of the Texas Longhorns, Tron?
I'm sorry to say it, man, and everybody's going to say I'm crazy, but listen, it's Nick Saban. The writing's on the wall, dude. He's ignoring Alabama. The guy doesn't need any money. He only wants to prove a point. He wants to prove that I can win no matter where I go. Saban is the guy.
All right, Bloom.
I'm going to go outside the box. You ready for this one? Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, you know, I saw that name get floated around. Why?
Makes sense. He's kind of on the ropes there in Pittsburgh. He's a splash guy, an NFL guy, looking for a change of pace. They got a new AD. You want to do something different. Where do you go from Mac Brown, a young guy? I mean,
one of my best friends in the world like is an Alabama fan. He actually named his dog Bama when he was a kid. Like, this is legitimate, too. He wasn't a front runner. Like, his grandpa was. His grandpa's grandpa was a Bama fan. They go back to, like, the Forrest Gump days, okay? And I've just been trolling him so hard. Every time I see a tweet today, I'm, like, snapping a photo of it and forwarding it to him. So I hope Tron's right from that standpoint. But for Iowa State's standpoint, I want Mac Brown around as long as possible.
I think Mac's done. He's definitely out.
If it's Saban, then Texas is winning the league in the next 5 years.
The best quote you can, listening to all the guys talk today, you do not want to be the old AD's head coach.
No.
I mean, you don't want to be that guy.
Tron gets the point. I don't think it's Tomlin, Brent. I'm sorry.
Jim Harbaugh, then.
Why?
What are you?
You know, I've heard a lot about their keying in on NFL guys.
Because they're Texas. They can do what they want.
Yeah, they are.
That's why they're getting Saban.
It's the best job in college.
Well, if Saban's going to turn him down, where else
Saban's
do you go?
Not going to turn him. Here's the deal. Saban's got a contract sitting on his desk right now for him to re-up, and he won't re-up. You know why? Because it's not the money. Saban is the type of guy that's saying, dude, there you go, right there. That's what it's all about. I'm going because I can.
Okay, let's say he turns it down. Where else do you go? Like, you're Texas. You have more money than several countries. You got to go big. And they're going to pay somebody $10 million, which is more than any other head
Paul
coach.
Paul Rhodes.
Saban's the first choice. If it's not them, you got to go with an NFL guy. Have to.
Big 12 power rankings in hoops right now. Where's Iowa State, Tron?
They got to be second.
And I'm saying
Kansas, can I rephrase that?
If you were going to put projections for the Big 12 season, where would you put Iowa State? That's the best.
I would probably put them at three. I think I'd put them where they started.
Ahead of who?
Ahead of Baylor and Oklahoma
Still
State.
Still ahead of
Here's the deal, man.
Wait,
behind Baylor and Oklahoma State.
So you put them above Kansas?
Dude, listen, Kansas.
Wow.
Listen, what do you have to see, Williams? Well, this team is in trouble.
I see a talented young team.
I think they're young. Here's the deal. In the past, Kansas was a young team, but they always had that veteran guy or that guy that was just such a superstar that he can take over.
You're not
a
Deer-Tharp fan?
I hate to tell you this. They don't have that guy that can take over a ball
game. But they got Bill Self, man. You got death, you got taxes, and you have Bill
Self. You know what? And Mac Brown's had every five-star recruit you can ever think of, and he's losing ball games too. Listen, they don't have that guy that they can go to. They prove it time after time after time.
This will be an interesting rebuttal here from Brent Bloom.
It's just not going to happen.
All right, Bloom, what do you think of the big man?
I gotta agree. Third, I think Kansas is fourth.
You guys are so far off.
Here's why.
I mean, you guys are just crazy. But
Kansas,
go ahead.
Okay, there's
they've lost in hostile road environments.
They've lost three of the last four.
Here's why.
Tad Boyle is one of the best coaches in the country. You play an Elite Eight team at Florida. That's a brutal road game.
It's Bill Self.
There's two tenets to basketball, right? You got to guard the other team, and you got to put the ball in the basket. Kansas can't score. Like, they have no 3-point shooters right now. Their best 3-point offense is Andrew Wiggins, who's not a 3-point shooter. He tried against Florida, but they're going to struggle to shoot the three all year. Teams are zoning them up. They're having issues. They're not going to just magically get a shooter off a tree. Nadir-Tharp can't shoot. Their other two guard, Wayne Selden, can't shoot. Wiggins is inconsistent. They're not going to become better shooters. They're going to be great on defense. They're going to be great in transition. But once you get in a half-court game with Kansas, I like Iowa State shot at home. And I think Kansas slips up. Iowa State's the third.
But you legitimately think if you put it together, because you picked Kansas to win the league at the beginning.
I picked Oklahoma State.
We both did?
Yeah.
Okay. I must be thinking of somebody else.
I don't know.
But my point is you would put Kansas fourth.
Right now. Absolutely. To finish the year.
That's crazy.
Yep.
I don't know how it's going to work.
What have they shown you that make you say anything different?
Yeah, did you watch them play Duke? Obviously.
I've watched them play every time they've been on TV.
They're going to be fine.
I like a three-way tie.
I don't think they're going to win the league.
Three-way tie for second.
Is it just because it's self?
We're talking about
Is it just because it's self?
No.
You're giving them all the credit because they haven't.
How many lottery picks do they have on that team?
Four.
So they got
a 20-piece McNugget from the McDonald's All-American group. And they still can't win ball games.
Listen,
okay,
Bill
and they're
Self.
Getting beat. Yeah, they're getting beat by teams that they should blow
they
out of the
Duke.
Water.
They beat Duke.
Who is these teams they should be blowing out of the water?
I thought they should have bombed Florida.
Oh my gosh, Tron, you're off your rocker.
Hey, we're talking about Kansas basketball.
Tron, you know I love.
We're talking about Kansas basketball.
You're crazy.
You know, this is coming from the same guy. So are they still number one in the conference? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I picked Oklahoma State to win the league.
So they're second. So you're telling me Kansas is second.
I still put them at second.
They're the second best team in the Big 12.
Not right now, but
you
at the end of the year they will
be. You are smoking all kinds of dope, man.
You just lost your point. And Bloom has zero. So you're both at zero.
I got one. I scored right the first now. Point.
No, you lost your point.
Oh, you took my point away and then didn't give us either a point.
Nobody gets a point for number two. I want to remind you all to give my friend Glenn Waterhouse a call for your insurance needs. For real, it's a good time of year when you because it's the beginning of the year and you a lot of people do the whole financing thing, you know, for the upcoming year. You want to save some money. State Farm Insurance, go in and talk Cyclones with former Cyclone Glenn Waterhouse down there in Johnston. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. You can check out his website, glennwaterhouse.com. His ads are all over CycloneFanatic.com. We got to go quickly here. All right. Does at the end of the day, does Paul Rhodes hire from within or does he go outside the box, Bloom?
Within.
Tron?
I think he's going outside the box. I think it's too risky. I think the within is too. And the only way he hires within is that if it's his last resort. I'm serious. I think he can't get the guy he wants or the next guy in line, and that's just what he resorts to. I think it's too risky for him as a coach.
I'm going within for the reasons I stated earlier, that just from their personnel this year, I think their offense could be good just showing up without a coach next year. And so you have some consistency, the same terminology, you'll be better, and better can get them to a bowl game.
You guys both make decent arguments. It's 1-1. I'll give you both a point right there. You both do make good arguments. I think you could either one of you could talk a fanatical fan into your point right there. Who leads Iowa State in scoring on Friday against Iowa, Tron?
Oh man, I think it's DeAndre King.
Yeah.
Bloom said it earlier. He's a terrible matchup for most. And again, the reason why I'm using Kane, to be honest with you, is the guy has no attachment to this rivalry. I mean, I think he thinks it's cool. You're playing in-state rivalry. Mm-hmm. But emotionally, it's not like he grew up watching this thing or paying attention to it. He's got zero. He's just showing up. He's showing up to the dance to cut a rug, baby. That's all he's doing.
Bloom?
I thought Matt's point earlier in the show is very interesting, that they don't want to necessarily run really quickly, which leads me to believe this could be more half-court than we think. And if that's the case, I like Kane. He's always kind of my number one option. But I like Melvin Edgem, because what I think will happen is if Kane's doing damage, they're going to have to put marble on him. And at that point, Edgem's in the mismatch. And so Edgem against Aaron White, mm-hmm. Yes, please, every time. And Edgem has shown he's the leading scorer for one. He can shoot from the outside, from the inside. He can post people up, get rebounds. Melvin Edgem's going to be the guy.
Tron gets the point just because I have a fear that Edgem could be in foul trouble. I feel like him or Niang,
that's a good point.
And yeah. The thing I didn't go with Edgem is
I just feel like Kane is more the I feel like if Vegas was putting odds on this, there would be higher number next to the name of.
Well, I think the emotional side of the game, I think, would affect Melvin more than it would DeAndre, just from the fact that he's played in it. This is his fourth time playing in it.
All right, this is our final show of the year.
Already won.
We're a football-dominated world that we live in. This is a big question. Bloom, how many games do the Cyclones win next year?
Six. I think they are better in the non-conference. I think they beat Toledo. I think they beat North Dakota State, whose coach went to Wyoming. So they're going to be fresh start. There's some opportunities in the Big 12 next year to get some wins. Texas Tech at home is winnable. At TCU is winnable. There's some winnable games. I think they get six, and I think they go bowling.
I think they get six, too, because West Virginia's still in our conference,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a five-win team. You know, and I agree with you, too,
K-State
though, Williams. And I know you continue to say seven somewhere in there. They're going to be a really talented team. Considering this year, and I do. I think they're a 500 team. I think we'll figure out where we're going to watch a bowl game next year.
Tonight, you're both winners, just because I appreciate your comments.
Happy holidays.
It's good. Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Guys, we'll be back the first Thursday in January for the Wilson Toyota of Ames Thursday night.
This is our last show. Ed Hightower's retiring at the end of this month. Best wishes to Ed Hightower.
God. Tron, do you have any parting for our fans?
Season greetings to all you guys.
You know what? I'll say it. Merry Christmas. They ain't tying me down. From Benchwarmers to Ankeny, so long, everybody.